I've picked for my subject this morning, enduring hardness as a good soldier. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, we read, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." There are two ways to avoid the hardship of being a soldier. The first is just simply to not do the jobs you are given. And the second is to cheat in doing them. Both of these are addressed in this passage. Verse 3 tells us first, simply states, to endure hardness as a good soldier. Then verse 4 warns us about one kind of person who evades the hardship of being a soldier by entangling himself with the world. And verse 5 warns us about another kind of person who evades hardship by striving unlawfully. That's likened more to the world of sports than it is a soldier. But anyway, both of these ditches that people fall in are nothing but laziness. And in Proverbs 20, verse 4, we read, "The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing." Some people lack the motivation to do anything except have fun and enjoy themselves. And we call such a person a sluggard. In Proverbs 28, verse 18, we read that "Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once." And some people don't have enough character to do things right, so they cheat. And God holds curses out to both kinds of people. If you're too lazy to work when it's cold, you won't have food when you're hungry. And if you're low enough of a person to distort the facts for your own benefit, God says you will fall at once. And the point of importance is that these character flaws do not only express themselves in temporal matters, but in spiritual matters. And Paul warns about both. He warns about skirting the hard jobs and entangling yourself with the affairs of this life. And he warns about cheating or striving unlawfully. And these two kinds of people are what I plan to address this morning. Before I go further, I'd like to just quickly give a word of prayer and then go into the rest of this. Our Father, I again just pray that you would be with us and especially be with me this morning as I endeavor to preach your word. I pray, Father, that you would help me speak clearly. Help me to speak in a way that would speak to your people. And help us, Father, to have open hearts to conform our lives to your truths. Amen. So to start with, I'm going to start with those who are entangled with the affairs of this life. Verse 4 of our passage reads, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. It's no small thing to be a soldier. They choose what you do. The army chooses what you wear, what you eat, how you live. By becoming a soldier, you are volunteering yourself to be a slave. Just one example is one must forsake his family to be a soldier. And there's an old saying in the army, if the military wanted you to have a family, they would have issued you one. And it's just the way it is. When you become a soldier, everything else falls to the side. And Paul draws on this fact, and he says, no, I can't quote it. But he says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. It is said that a soldier who enlisted in the American Civil War took along his kit of watchmaker's tools. And while they were in camp, he did a considerable amount of business. But one day when the order came to strike tents and prepare for the battle, he looked around his tent in dismay and exclaimed, why, I can't possibly go, for I have 12 watches to repair, which I've promised by Saturday night. The man had forgotten what he had enlisted for. And it seems that many soldiers of the King of Kings have forgotten what they have enlisted for. Paul talks in a similar tone in another place. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, we read, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. There are many verses in Scripture that preach against immorality and unrighteousness and such things as that. But that's not the main purpose of this passage. This passage holds a high standard of lifestyle by preaching temperance, self-control, such things as that. Sin goes without saying. You shouldn't have to tell a Christian that sin should be given up. But you do have to tell a Christian that lawful things have to be given up. By statistics, it has been established that the average world-class athlete trains approximately 23 hours a week. Paul says, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. A man who's striving for the mastery, on average, spends 23 hours a week practicing. And now Paul says, you know how hard these athletes train? You know how they work to be the best? He says, I therefore so run. I therefore so run. Not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. An athlete won't do anything that he does not see as helpful to his pursuit of the mastery. He will watch what he eats. He will exercise for hours every day. He will sacrifice his sleep. Everything that he does revolves around his sport. Only someone who's been there could truly express the amount of effort that they put into what they do. And then Paul says, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we and incorruptible. That same effort that we put forth and that they put forth, we ought to put forth. A bodybuilder will read the ingredient label on everything before he eats it to make sure that it'll help him build his body. And in the same way, we need to inspect every book, every film, every song, every magazine, or anything that we feed our souls with. Make sure that it is to our edification. Again, the Bible tells us that all things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Not all things will build you up. As I've established, an athlete will forsake everything that does not help him become a better athlete. And the simple thrust of these passages is, if it does not help you become a better Christian, give it up. No sacrifice is too great. No price is too high. I therefore so run, Paul says. Hebrews 11 is in many ways the climax of the book of Hebrews. Throughout the whole book, the author swings back and forth between a spiritual truth and a practical application. He gives another spiritual truth and another practical application. Hebrews 11 is a whole chapter that he lays out the doctrine of faith. Then in chapter 12, he gives us a practical exhortation. In Hebrews 11, he starts out, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In verse 6, we're told, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then throughout the rest of the chapter, we're given multiple examples of people who acted in faith. One of the main themes that we see run through every example is obedience. Now, Noah was just talking earlier about not confusing terms, and we don't want to confuse obedience and faith. They are very different. Obedience is one of the themes of faith, but it's not faith. The Bible tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It doesn't tell us that faith is obedience. But when you have the substance and the evidence, it will cause you to obey. Now it seems reasonable to me that after this chapter on faith, God would talk about sin and exhort people to give it up for the hope of a better and an enduring substance, as we read in Hebrews 10:34. Who would have thought that sin would come second in his exhortation after he talks about faith? Who would have thought that the emphasis would be put on carrying around extra weight that is not necessary? After 40 verses on faith, we are told to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I would have thought that after all this build-up about faith, God would have given the most stinging blow in the Bible on the sinfulness of unbelief. I would have thought that he would stick his dagger into sin and expose it in all of its wickedness and grossness. But rather, God takes this opportunity to exhort us as believers to lay aside every hindrance and run a race. He does talk about sin. That's part of it. But it doesn't even come first. I think that God is maybe telling us that running the race of the Christian life is more difficult than just abstaining from sin. It takes more faith to give up something that is not wrong than it does to give up something that is wrong. Lay aside every weight. Imagine a runner running a race, carrying around extra things. They wear the lightest shoes they can possibly find. Every ounce counts, and they cut it off. Get rid of every extra weight. And again, Paul says, he exhorts us, I should say, to do the same thing. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. But then the next verse we read in 2 Timothy 2 is verse 5. And it says, "And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." And that's my next point that I want to make this morning. It's just to talk for a minute about those who strive unlawfully. I find it very interesting that God would use war and sports to illustrate the devotion needed for the Christian life. But I find it even more interesting that he would use sports to illustrate the importance of following the rules. In the 1988 Summer Olympics, Ben Johnson of Canada set a world record for the 100-meter final at 9.79 seconds. But 3 days later, he was disqualified for having used steroids. And I don't know about what kind of cheating they would have done in Paul's day. But yet he says, He says, if a man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned unless he strive lawfully. Yet is he not crowned unless he strive lawfully. I don't know what this means in every way, but certainly it means that anything other than the protocol that God has laid out in Scripture, there is no reward for. When a man, through human effort and intelligence, builds a mega church, God will not reward him. God rewards the man who works according to the guidelines laid out in Scripture. The preacher who preaches a non-offensive message that his church will grow is cheating. He may get a big church, but he won't get a crown. The evangelist who preaches an easy-believe gospel may get thousands of converts, but he won't get a crown. Success as a pastor is not easy. Success as an evangelist is not easy. Success as a Christian, it is not easy. But it was not intended to be. We are to endure hardness as a good soldier. Expect it and embrace it and don't look for shortcuts. When I step back and look at this passage, to me, I see it quite similar to another one in Corinthians. Here, Paul says, if you strive, but not according to the rules, you will not receive a crown. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, we read, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." The Christian who does not strive lawfully will find all of his works burned up, and he will be saved, yet so as by fire. God has a book in which he has recorded in detail how he wants us to live. God expects us to read the Bible and apply ourselves to live it. We need to apply ourselves first to find out what God expects, and second, to live it. It's truly astounding what people will do and think that God is pleased with it. In John 16:2, Jesus says, "They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." And if some people can do things that far out and think that they are serving God, how much more do we need to check ourselves and make sure that we are serving God according to his command? Many people believe false doctrines and they'll spend their life propagating them. They may be very godly Christians, but their work will be entirely burned. Always remember that not just the amount of effort exerted matters, but what that effort was exerted into matters. Don't think that because your life is completely devoted to the work of God, that you are okay. Double check. Make sure that your work is according to God's plan, lest you strive unlawfully. My exhortation is simply this: don't be lazy and neglect the hard things in Christianity, and don't take shortcuts to make them easier either. Next time a preacher preaches hard things that you want to forget, remind yourself of this. Next time you feel the Spirit urging you to take some hard step, whether it be self-denial or some other thing, remember this. Next time you find yourself wishing the Christian life was easier, remember this. It won't make it easier, but it might give you courage to keep going. 2 Timothy 2:3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Make the choice to endure hardness in two ways. First, choose to keep yourself from being weighed down by anything unnecessary. And second, determine that you will not take shortcuts. Remember, what Paul said. I therefore so run. It's a truly astounding example that he gives us when he compares our Christian life to that of an athlete. But Jesus said that the world, in their is wiser in their own generation than the children of light. And this is just one more example of it. They do it to obtain an earthly crown, a temporal crown. But we do it to obtain an eternal crown. Yet they work harder than we do. Why? Because the world is wiser in their own generation than we are. An athlete will spend his entire life entirely devoted to success in his field, to that gold medal, whatever it be. And he's going to die and leave that gold medal behind. We have an opportunity before us that we can pursue an eternal reward. And we don't put our minds to it half so much. That's my exhortation to you this morning. Is to look at those people who are pursuing the mastery in some earthly sphere and emulate them with the same amount of devotion and courage in spiritual things. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this book, and we thank you for these truths. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to live accordingly. Help us, Father, to go home with new courage and new devotion to the cause of Christ. Help us devote ourselves to the kingdom of heaven in the same way and to the same extent that an earthly athlete does for his goals. Amen. And let's dismiss.